Well, today the title of my message is Sons of God. How many of you are a son or a daughter of God? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to read out of Romans chapter 8, 12 through 17. Why don't we read together? Let's stand, and it's going to be on the screen here, and let's just read it all together. Beginning at verse 12, and I'm reading it out of the Message Bible today. Okay, here we go. So you don't see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent. There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. Come on. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our hearts, our spirits, and confirms who we really are. For we know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with Him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with Him. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You that You have made us sons and daughters. That, Lord, that we're not on the outside looking in, but You have drawn us in to Your presence, to Your family. And, Father, we are so thankful for that today. And I pray today, Father God, we would have further insight of being a child of God. Lord, I praise You and I thank You for this time. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, you may be seated. Hallelujah. I got a few questions for you today. And you could raise your hand, but then I want you to talk to me a little bit, okay? We're going to interact for a minute. So how many of you here today are happy? How many of you today are not happy? All right, I got one brave soul. Okay, well, let me ask you this. What makes you happy? This is where we talk. What makes you happy? I can't hear you. Jesus makes you happy? What else makes you happy? Huh? Steak? I had some good chicken fettuccine last night. It made me happy. Gloria, what makes you happy? Being in His presence. Amen. Yolanda? Singing to Him. It makes me happy too. George? Finding out you got 13 great-grandkids. Wow, that's a big find, George. Praise God. I remember when my mom found out, at 72, that she had 5 brothers and sisters. At 72, she found that out. Don Maurice? Maintaining a great attitude of regardless of what's going on. Lucy? Huh? Being a servant? Any? All right. How God answers prayer. Anybody else? Purpose in life makes you happy. Amen. Freedom and being healthy. Amen. Priscilla? The hope that we have in Jesus. My grandsons make me happy. My grandkids make me happy. Delanda makes me happy. But I'm just happy. You know, I've chosen in my life, I'm going to be happy no matter what. I'm going to be happy no matter what people think of me, say about me, or what happens in my life. I've just chosen I'm going to be happy. Good choice. Amen. I am going to be happy. I'm determined in my life. I'm going to walk in joy, and I'm going to be happy. I'm going to smile, I'm going to laugh, I may cry, but I'm still going to be happy, amen? Happiness, it's a good thing, but let me ask you this, what makes you sad? Politics, okay. I was trying not to go there today, but hey, you know. When you don't have communications with your kids, what else makes you sad? George? Stuff you see on television and stuff. Okay, what else makes you sad? Anybody? When you can't help somebody with their depression. Josie? Okay, amen. When your loved ones hurt you. A lot of hunger in the world. People that don't acknowledge Jesus. When your children don't acknowledge Jesus. The lessons that people don't learn when we take God out of everything. What else? Anybody else? Opportunity you miss out on because you weren't paying attention to God. Okay. Anybody else? What makes you sad? You know, you see Pastor Jesse after the service, he'll go pray for him. Okay? Amen. Dad in the hospital. Deterioration of our freedom in America. Let me tell you, I've been in these countries where there's no freedom. And you know what? The church in these countries don't care. They're going to do what they're going to do no matter what. I was in one place, and they were raided by the police, and they were commanded to get out of their building and stuff. So they went, and they got a new building, and they invited me to come and stay 2 days there. And so what they did was, it's so bold, they rented the ballroom of a hotel. And they had me minister in the ballroom of a hotel when it's totally against the law what we were doing. Because they figured the police were less apt to raid the ballroom of a hotel to save themselves from any embarrassment. I'm like, wow, you guys are so bold. So bold. When your freedoms are taken away, what are you going to do with it? Because you can almost guarantee your freedom's going to be taken away at some point. This whole thing has to wrap up, amen? Jesus has to come at some point. The Bible's got to be fulfilled at some point. At some point, it's going to get really rough and it's going to be hard. At some point, we're going to lose the freedom. At some point, you know, Jesus is going to come. So when Delonda and I had kids, we got married at 19. And we had our first daughter at 21 and the second one at 23. And man, we were young, you know, trying to do life. And we were very happy, but also very nervous about having two kids so young. And we knew that we were responsible for these young lives, and we were a little nervous about it. And now, you know, we're on the other end of that, where our daughters are 31 and 33. We have 6 grandkids. And now I find that I am way more mature than I was when I was 21. I am, yeah. Settle down, front row. She said, hallelujah. I'm way more mature than I was at 21, so I'm able to deal with things in a different mode than I did as a 21-year-old dad. You know, so now that I have my grandsons, it just seems so much easier to father, and you can see things clearly, and it's like, hey, you know, your kid needs this. You know, they need the paddle sometimes, you know, but having kids is an awesome thing, isn't it? It's great to have children. I just love it. And you could talk to them, help them, minister to them. It's funny, kids, all kids are like this. You can tell your kids something, and they'll go, yeah. But then somebody else tells them the same thing you told them, and they're like, they come up to you going, oh my gosh. I remember Delonda got a phone call from Carly one day, and Carly said, oh mom, you wouldn't believe this message I heard today. It was da-da-da-da. And Delonda's like, I've been telling you that for 10 years. You know, it just seems to sink in when they hear it from somewhere else. But children are great. But then sometimes children cause you pain. They make trouble. They don't go along with the program. I know nobody here experiences that. So but sometimes parenting can be difficult. And you got to really pray, and you got to seek the Lord. Because, you know, a lot of times what we're trying to do is we're trying to get a child. It says train up a child in the way that who should go? The child should go. Train up a child in the way they should go, amen? So our role as parents is to discover how they should go and then help steer them that way. Now, you know, Nehemiah, the big one here waving flags, he does that so well. And you know, I think, you know, Papa played football, you know, so I'm like, you know, maybe sports. And yeah, I like sports, but, you know, this guy can draw incredibly. You know, so I'm not buying him footballs. I'm buying him pencils, and I'm buying him paper, and I'm buying him a drawing board, you know, so that train up a child in the way that God has created him to be. And this kid, I mean, he drew a Louisville Cardinal. You would have thought it was printed out the Cardinal website. It was so good. He's just very talented. So, you know, sons and daughters, and we here today are sons and daughters of God. Amen. And it's not based on how good or bad we've been in this life. It's based on how great God is and what he's done. What we can receive from him, amen? Because when you come to Jesus and you give him your life, you become a son or a daughter, amen? You are a son or daughter of the Most High God when you believe in Jesus and you receive him. And the first thing that I want us to realize, and this is number one today, is that you don't owe your flesh anything, okay? You don't owe your flesh anything. When I say flesh, I'm talking about all sin, all sickness, all pain, all hurt, all offenses, all disappointments, misery that your flesh has caused. You don't owe it anything but a proper burial. And that proper burial comes when you get baptized in water, that you go down and under. See, we all talk about the resurrection of Jesus, how Jesus was resurrected from the dead. But what about the day you were resurrected from the dead? What about the day you came into new life, that your old man was passed away, bam, and then all things become new? You're alive in Christ. Amen? Your old man is dead. You owe your flesh nothing. Say goodbye to the pain that you've had in the past. Say goodbye to those hurts that people have done to you. Say goodbye to those offenses that you've carried. Say goodbye to those disappointments that have happened in your life. Let go of them, amen? No one can let go of them but you. I listened to a message this week, and he talked about what stops the fire of God being active in our life. And number one, he said offenses. When we get offended, and we don't let it go. I know people get offended. I know I've offended people. The Word of God offends people. But we have to let it go, amen? When you don't let it go, it takes your fire. And then the second thing he said was disappointment takes your fire. When you get disappointed, well, God didn't come through for me the way I want. God didn't do what I need. God didn't heal. God didn't do this. God didn't do that. God didn't give me that job. God didn't give me those finances. God didn't. God. We get disappointed when we live in disappointment. And you know, there's a big disappointment that, you know, that kids go through today is when parents separate. And kids get disappointed and they get hurt. And they don't know how to let it go. And as parents, if you're going through a trial with marriage and you're separating and you're going, you've got to help your children get through that disappointment. Because, you know, I've talked to kids before that think it's their fault. And they carry that disappointment into their life. And then he said the next thing that takes out your fire is busyness. Busyness will take away your fire for God. It'll take away your zeal and your passion. You know, you can't be so busy that you don't spend time with Jesus. Because if you're that busy, then you're doing more than what you're supposed to be. You've got to make time for the Lord, amen? So don't allow yourself to get busy. I'm trying to think what the last one was. I didn't write it all down. But don't do it. You fill in the blank, huh? That's what we'll do. We'll fill in the blank. You fill in the blank what takes your fire away from God. Because you know when you're, what gets you down. You know what draws you away from God. You know that thing. So you fill in the blank. Amen? But say goodbye to them things. Let them go. There's nothing you can do to change your past. Absolutely nothing. You owe your flesh nothing. Just say, oh, you're gone. Just kick it out, amen? Get rid of it. Don't hold on to it. Let go of all offenses, disappointments. Get yourself ready to go and do the things that God has for you. How did he say it? He said, God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go, amen? There are things to do for God, places to go for God. So you got to let go of the weights that are holding you back from going and doing what God's called you to. You got to say, God, my past has been terrible, but I'm letting it go today so I can press into what you called me for, what you created me for, and I'm going to go forward. Pastor Jesse said it in Colossians. We were created with purpose for God, amen? So let's get on with what God's purpose is. Let's let go of our past. Yeah, I had to let go of my past. I had to let go of my disappointments. I had to let go of my hurts and my pains. I let it go, man. I did it all one day. I said, I'm done with it. And you know, I forgot most of it. I did. I really forgot a lot of the terrible things I did. And Delonda and I have talked about it, and we've talked about things that I did, and I'm like, man, I just can't even imagine myself doing such a thing. Because it's just gone. I mean, God really, you know, and it's not a convenience thing. It's a spiritual thing. He really ripped it out of me. Because when God just took that out of me, now I'm not going back to it, amen? I'm not going to go back to my issue. I remember I had a guy here before that was homeless, and he had a tent set up down the street. Somebody gave him a place to live. I said, go and give your spot away. He's like, what? I said, give that tent away. Show somebody else your spot so they can have it. He's like, why would I do that? I said, because if you don't, you'll go back to it. I was an injection mold maker for 25 years. I was in the ministry, working another job, had my own business for 6 years. And when God told me to let my business go, I sold all my machinery and I gave away all my personal tools. Because I'm not going back. I'm not going to revert back. It's the same thing in the kingdom, spiritually. Let go of those things. And you say, Pastor, but you don't have any idea what I went through. Listen, it matters what you went through, but God knows what you went through, and he can take you out of that. He can relieve you from that so that you can move ahead. You can cut the tie with that thing so that you can go forward and be all that God's called you to be. Amen. You don't have to hold on to your past. You don't have to stay angry. You don't have to stay hurt. You can say, I'm done. And walk away. It's a decision. And we all make decisions. Sometimes we feel like we shouldn't forgive because of what that person did to us. We feel like they don't deserve your forgiveness. But every moment of unforgiveness you have in your life is every moment that you're not forgiven of. Because the Word of God declares, forgive and you shall be forgiven. But if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. So you forgive, not for them, but for you, amen. You let it go and say, ha, I'm done with it. And they're like, what? I'm done with it. I forgive you. And they're like, what do you mean? I don't care anymore. I'm done. And you let it go. And let me tell you, it's going to shake them up. You got it. You can say, Pastor, but you don't know. Listen, God knows. He knows what you went through. He knows what you're about. He knows the pain that you have felt. But Jesus took all your pain to the cross. So if he took your pain to the cross, he's got it. So just walk away from it. I'm done with it, amen? You know, everybody, like I said, always focuses on the resurrection of Jesus. And I am so glad he was resurrected. But you have to understand that in Jesus, you've been resurrected. Amen? Not to timidity and fear, not nursing your old wounds, but you've been resurrected to abundant life in Jesus. Amen? So, number two, now is the time to look to God with expectancy. Now, you come up out of the grave and you're resurrected in Jesus, now you look to God with expectancy. You start believing for what God says is yours. Don't sell him short. Don't hold back. Don't believe that, you know, because the devil will try to lie to you, Karen, and say, well, that's not going to work for you. Like I told you, I was teaching a college class, and I'm teaching on this stuff, and this lady looked at me, and she said, Pastor, this better work. I said, what do you mean? She goes, what you're sharing with us sounds so good. It better work. I said, of course it works. I'm living proof it works. I wouldn't be telling you if it didn't work, because this is what's happening in my life right now. I am looking to God with expectancy. You know, when you go to the doctor and the doctor tells you you have this or that, take it to the Lord with expectancy, because he declares, listen, in Isaiah 53, verse 5, he says, by his stripes you are healed. Okay? In Psalms 103, he says, verse 2, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your disease. So you're forgiven and you're healed in the name of Jesus. Psalms 107, he says, I cried out to the Lord in my distresses and he delivered me. I cried out to the Lord and he healed me by sending forth his word. He sent his word to heal me of all disease. He sent his word to heal you of all disease. You go to John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God. The Word is Jesus Christ. He sent forth his Word, Jesus Christ, to go to the cross, to take all sin and sickness to the cross, so that we could have life and life more abundantly. What do you want to live in? Do you want to live being sick, sad, and sorry, depressed, and angry, and frustrated? Or do you want to live in life? I want to live, amen. I want to live. I want to glorify God in everything I say or do. I'm looking for opportunity to glorify God. It's not just coming to church, man. You don't just come to church and say, wow, that was a neat service. You come to church and you get filled and you go out and you do. Now is the time for expectancy with God. Just know this. That when you say you're a Christian, it's way more than just saying I'm a Christian. When you say you're a Christian, what you're saying is, I'm a blood-bought child of God, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit that can do signs and wonders and miracles. You're declaring that, because if you look at the signs of a believer in Mark 16, they cast out demons, they speak in new tongues, the Lord protects them, and they lay hands on the sick and they recover. That's a believer, amen? And God says, he confirms the word with what you say. So he confirms what you say. So what say ye? What are you saying? glory to God, I'm healed? Or are you going around, you know, this chair, it declares, oh, you know, I got this and I got that. And don't own it, man. Don't own it. Don't own it. Don't own it. Declare the word of the Lord over you. Chair, you got to get saved. See, I don't like to declare stuff over people. I'll talk to the chair. That chair gets cancer, I'll just throw it out. See, that's what the devil wants to do to you. He wants to put stuff on you to throw you out. God does not make you sick. God does not make you sick. God does not make you sick. In Exodus chapter 15, he says, if you do what I say, none of these diseases will be put on you. When we're following Jesus, none of these diseases will be put on you. So you go to the doctor and the doctor says, you got this disease, you say, well, get off. You don't have to tell the doctor, but you can walk out of that doctor's office and say, get off of me, get off of me. You know, don't call me, going, oh, Pastor. Come on, man. Let's live the way he's called you. You're his son. You are his daughter. That's what he declares. He's declaring it here in the word, amen? He is a loving father who's created you for his purpose, to do his will here on earth. So as your father, he wants you to succeed, amen? He wants you to do well. He wants the best for you, amen? All right, maybe not. Yeah. I believe he wants the best for me. I believe that he loves me so much. You know, not just because I'm a pastor. I mean, I believed this a long time before I became a pastor. I believed this a long time before I started doing things for the Lord. When I received Jesus, man, all I felt was his love for me. All I felt was believing that he wanted to do great things in me. All I knew was that he wanted to just grow me, and he wanted to fill me, and he wanted to bless me. That's God. God's desire is to bless his people. Remember this, the devil is a liar and a deceiver, okay? And he'll do what he can to get you to back off from God. He'll do what he can to get you to back off. Like I said, you know, those couple of things I said in the beginning that guy gave me, offenses, disappointments, busyness, and whatever you fill in the blank with, you know, the devil will throw those things at you to back off from God. He'll do what he can. Because listen, if you go all in with Jesus and you say, I'm not taking it anymore, and you overcome those things that have been holding you back, man, you're going to be dynamite, and the devil's not going to like that. He's not going to want you to walk out and share. I was with, I had lunch with, man, I forget who I had lunch with. I know. Pastor Frank Starks, the guy who spoke when I was on vacation. And he's telling me, he says, I met this guy, this evangelist. And the evangelist said, I'm coming to your home and I'm going to stay with you. And Frank's like, okay. And he brought the guy home with him. And he said, it was nuts. He said, they'd go to the grocery store, man. And he'd lose the guy at the grocery store, and then he'd find him. He'd be laying hands on people and prophesying to people to lay down in the grocery store. He said, everywhere this guy went, man, the power of God was moving through him. And he goes, I was a little nervous at first. I was a little like, oh, man. He goes, you know what? We tend to get embarrassed of God. We do. We get embarrassed. Oh, brother, not in the grocery store. These people know me. But he said, this brother, everywhere they went, man, God was moving through him powerfully. And he went to the Baptist church. And he was speaking at the Baptist church. And the pastor wasn't there that night. And he was prophesying, and people were getting healed, signs, wonders, and miracles. And one of the deacons called the pastor and said, hey, this guy's crazy, man. And the pastor said, get him out, get him out, get him out. And they removed him from the church because the pastor just didn't know. What do you know? Do you know that God wants to move through you? Do you know that you are a son of God? Do you know that you are a daughter of God? and that God wants to do incredible things through you? I was talking to a minister the other day. I said, you know, God's been doing miracles in our church. And he says, well, how is that happening? I said, well, I call out whatever I hear. And he says, you just call it out. I said, yeah, I just speak it out. Marjorie, how's your hand? Is all good? I called out left hand. And a few weeks ago, and she come up, she had a brace on her hand. We prayed. When she came forward for prayer at the end of the service, I said, hey, where's your brace? And she goes, it doesn't hurt anymore. George came in, and he one leg was shorter than the other. The Lord told me hip. He sat right here. I pulled up his legs, and one leg was shorter than the other. I said, huh, God told me this was going to happen. And so I said, in the name of Jesus, be healed, grow out. And his leg grew out right there in my hands. I'm like, wow. And George is like, wow. And George wanted to run and scream and shout because God healed him. God did a miracle. Listen, I'm nobody. I'm just somebody that says yes. I'm just somebody that's more afraid not to say it than to say it. Because God told me one time, he said, what if you don't call it out and they go home the same? Who would that be on? Me. I don't want anything on me. I was praying this morning, and I kept getting the word Achilles. The tendon or whatever. Is anybody having a problem with their Achilles tendon? I don't know where that... You are, Yolanda? Okay, well, why don't you stand up? Anybody else? Anybody else? Bob, why don't you lay hands on her right now? Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up our sister and we speak to that Achilles, Father God, and we pray that, Lord, that it just come into normalcy right now, that all pain would leave in the name of Jesus, that you would do supernatural work in her right now in Jesus' name and heal her, Lord, that by the healing power of the blood of Jesus, just touch her right now. Let it flow right now, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You let us know what happens there. Amen. See, I'm more afraid not to call it out. When I talked about the heaviness, that's when I was praying this morning. I got up real early, hit a shower, and I told the Lord, it's your turn. I'm going back to sleep, and I didn't get to go back to sleep. The Lord just wanted to talk. So I laid there, and I just talked, and he talked about these things. His desire is to heal. And number three, this is where number three, by faith, we have to realize that you are God's child. You are God's child. When you receive Jesus, you are God's child. You are not a child of the devil. You can now make a stand against the devil by staying submitted to God. Amen? Realize who your Father is. He's the one who created the heavens and the earth. He's the one who created you. He is your heavenly Father. He loves you. He gave his very best for you, amen? And he has set up an incredible inheritance for you and for me, amen? And our inheritance, listen, our inheritance isn't just when we get there. You know, I remember when my mom was here. My mom had all kinds of stuff. And I told her, I want one thing, Mom. I want all your guns, and I want the safe that they're in. She said, okay. I said, why don't you give it to me now? She's like, no. I'm like, why? You can't even remember the combination. She's like, it's here until I'm gone. I'm like, okay, God's not that way. God's not waiting for you to get there to share inheritance with you. God wants to share inheritance with you now. God wants to bless you now. God wants you to experience his presence now. His healing now. His blessing now. It's not something that we're waiting for to receive. He wants you to receive it now. Very good. Now. Jesus declared in John, he says in John 14, 17, he says, if you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. I will talk to the Father, and he'll provide you with another friend so that you always have someone with you. Look at your neighbor and say, always. You always have someone with you. This friend is the Spirit of truth. The godless world can't take him in because it doesn't have eyes to see him, doesn't know what to look for. But you know. You know him already because he has been staying with you and will even be in you. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is in you. Amen? He has not left us as orphans. The friend, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit fills you, and he doesn't leave you alone. He's always there. He'll always speak to you. He'll always give you direction. It's learning to listen and learning to obey. Because the Holy Spirit will tell you to do things, but it's just doing them. And it's listening, and it's thinking, listen. According to the Word of God, we're not good. Okay, but when we bring Jesus into our lives, we become good. So when you have good thoughts, they're coming from the Lord. Not from, evil is what comes out of us. Good is what's come into us, amen? So the goodness is overtaking the evil, because that evil man, that fleshy guy, is dying. He's dead. I buried him. And I'm resurrected alive in Christ. And because of that, I have the Spirit of truth in me who helps me to discern what is truth and what isn't, so that I can do the things of God, amen? The Holy Spirit will reveal all that's the inheritance that's set aside for you. I heard this story one time about a guy who went to heaven And he did some things for God, but when he got there, God showed him this big box. And he says, well, what's that box? He says, well, that's everything I had for you on earth, but you didn't take it. You didn't receive it. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What to wear, what to eat, where to live. And what do we seek after? What to wear, what to eat, what to live, where to live. We got to get in the mode of seeking after God, and he'll meet us there. Amen? He will meet us there. It's not just based on the eternal life that we're going to have in heaven. It's now. God wants to do things now in you. It starts when you've received him. It's about being a son or daughter and coming under the covering of a heavenly Father that loves you. Through the good times and bad. And I put in here the 23rd Psalm. I want to read it to you right now. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You've bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from, true to your word. Let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid. Yeah, I was talking to my son-in-law, Greg, about, you know, because in the King James it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And Greg goes, hey, listen, that valley of death is not a destination point. It's not what we're trying to get to. It's something we go through, amen? We don't stay there. And Ron King's interpreted as this, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not stay there. I'm just going to keep moving, because we all go through valleys, amen? But I'm going to keep moving because God is with me. I'm not afraid when you walk by at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. I have a shepherd's staff that they gave me at my ordination. It's up in my office. Man, my grandson's, it's like, put the staff down, put the staff down, put the staff down. Because they want to take it and they want to twirl it around like it's, you know, some club that you know. And I imagine that's what Jesus did. He could twirl that thing and snap you into attention right away. Verse 5, he says, you serve me a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. I don't lack. I'm with God. I'm his son. You're his son.
nor his daughter. It's just about learning to come to him and be joined with him. We can't keep being joined with the world or with the devil. We got to be joined with God. As the people of God, we have to learn how to follow Christ and believe what he has for you. Even out of the words of your mouth, speak life over yourself. Jesus didn't come to condemn you, but he came to give you life. So break out of where you've been and step into his loving arms and receive what the Father has for you. Amen. It's not depression. It's not heaviness. It's not lack. He says, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. Step into life. Amen. Grab a hold of God and say, here I am, Dad. My daughters, man, they see me. I go to my daughter's house, and when I'm back there, they jump on my lap. Dad, I'm so glad you're here. And they hug me. They kiss my cheek. They just love on me. And that's what we need to do to God. We need to jump up into him and say, hey, God, I know you're real. I know you're there. I'm your son or daughter. Thank you for being here with me. It's really that simple. Let go of what you've been going through and run to his arms. Run to him. Run to him as fast as you can. Let his love find you wanting today. Amen. Today, God is bringing this message to you because some of you have been caught in a cycle you've not been able to get out of, and he's saying, come to me. You've been caught up in some things. You've been caught up in this cycle, and I'm just going to call it just a cycle of death, a cycle of destruction. And the Lord says, just step back from that today. Come to me. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Please stand with me today. Don't leave, because we're going to take communion in a few moments. The Holy Spirit is here today. And just know that today that the Heavenly Father has given his very best to you to tell you that he loves you. His Holy Spirit is here to touch you today. And if you've been caught up in just what the enemy's been throwing at you, if you've been struggling to break free from your past, been struggling to break out and break into God, you haven't recognized him as a loving Father, and today you just say, you know what, I need that today. I need the loving Father today. I need Father God to just love on me today. I need to just let go of what I've been going through and just surrender to God today. If that's you today, I want you to just step out and come right now. You just know you got to let go and let God. Come on right now. Don't hold back. Come on. Give me some ladies to come stand with them right now, please. Come on, you know you got to let go. You just got to let go of some things today. Let God arise. You just need the love of the Father. I want you to just, not just touch him, I want you to embrace him today. Embrace him. Really just grab a hold of him. Come on, give me some ladies down here right now. No men, huh? I know us guys are tough. We got it all together. Don't let the devil be a liar today. Let God come and touch you today in the name of Jesus. Just stretch out your hands towards them right now. Father, in the name of Jesus. Yeah, we just break ties with the past today. We just pray for the release of the power of God into these women of God today. Father, in the name of Jesus, old things are passed away and all things become new. I pray for the resurrected life upon these women of God today. They be resurrected in who you are, God, and what you've done for them and what you have planned for them, Father. That, Lord, we break off every lie of the devil today in the name of Jesus. Be free in Jesus' name. Be free in Jesus' name.
name. Step into who God has called you to in Jesus' name. We speak freedom over you right now in Jesus' name. Let freedom come in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just touch them today, Father, in Jesus' name. Bless them indeed, Father. Yeah. Lord, we just take that weight. We just cast it down today. Lord, we pray for healing to flow right now. Healing in hearts being mended, God. Thought life being restored. The mind of Christ just coming down. The mind of Christ just filling. In the name of Jesus, these women be renewed and refreshed in who you are, Father. Just touch them today, Lord. Touch them today. Let it flow by the mercies of God. Yeah. Why don't you turn around to the person that you're standing with you and just let them pray for you right now. We're going to take communion here. In a minute, so I'm going to ask if the communion servers would get ready. Now listen, this is an open communion. You just got to be committed to Jesus, amen? You just got to know that Jesus died for you and was resurrected from the dead. And if not, if you haven't made a confession of Christ, do so right now. Just say, everybody say, Jesus, I believe in you, and I give you my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me and cleanse me. Be the Lord of my life. I receive you today. In Jesus' name, amen.